Well, this coming weekend is a very special one for the island of Inishbofin. There's a Féile on. It's an annual event. There's all sorts of things happening on the Saturday and the Sunday, and we're going to concentrate on the football tournament, which gets underway on the island at around 10 o'clock. Delighted to say that Glenay United committee member and player, Joe Coll, who's one of the organisers of this tournament, he is joining me on the line to tell me a little bit more about it. Joe, Inishbofin, for those people who don't know, just off Mahararty, this is a tournament been going nearly a decade.
Yeah, it has been. I suppose it would have run, you know, before that even, but I suppose we've had an unbroken run now, probably, well, since May. Timing it now with an unbroken run of probably about 10 years, I suppose, with the wee break there with COVID. But yeah, we've had a good run at it. Historically, it's been going on years before then, but, you know, for reasons other here and there, you know, kind of it went quiet for a couple of years. But we got it back on its feet about, would have been 10 years ago now, last year. So it's been into our 11th year as such. And yeah, it's just for us, it's just nice. It keeps football on the island. The island itself always had a strong tradition of soccer, and, you know, a lot of people that came out of it in the days when the young ones were on the island and there was youth there, you know, soccer was their go-to, and I suppose it just keeps that tradition going on the island.
Yeah, now you have strong links with the island, and over the years, you know, the population has, it fluctuated. People still go back over in the summer months. There's quite a few houses that have been converted and renovated in recent years, and this little festival, it's a way of bringing people together, and there's a great buzz about it.
Oh, 100%. As you said, like, I have a strong connection. My father was born and reared in the island, spent his life there until they eventually moved to the mainland for school, and then eventually when they came out to live. And this is my mother's also from the island, so my grandmother on one side and then my father's full-blooded. And yeah, as I said, it's one of these things that everybody looks forward to every year. You know, when the date comes out, people start booking flights, booking boats, you know, booking holidays around it. And for us, it's not a wild lot in our organisation. We don't think a wild lot of it, but, you know, it's a big thing for the island itself. You know, people are cleaning around houses, you know, they're painting, they're cutting grass, you know. The island itself's impeccably kept, and, you know, this just gives that extra kind of incentive for people maybe to get their hands kind of dirty and get a bit of work done around the place, and kind of pulls everybody together as well as that, you know, and it keeps life on the island. You know, as I said, the population wise, it's very few there year round, but come the summer, a lot, and probably including ourselves, try to spend as much time as we can in there. You know, it's a nice part of the world, probably, that's a little bit understated at times. A lot of people don't know the beauty of it and what it offers, but, you know, for us, it's a chance for us supposed to showcase it as well, you know, and show what we can do and what we have at our own front door.
Now, tell us a little bit about the pitch. It's pretty much at the highest point of the island, and anybody who's going there for the first time, I think, will be quite surprised just how flat an area it actually is.
It is actually probably the only, it's funny that it's probably the flattest part of the island, probably the only flat part nearly on it. And it sits right on the top, you know. The Mulla would be the highest point of the island, with probably some of the most breathtaking views you'll see on any island. You know, you see as far west as Bloody Foreland, and then you're looking east toward Hornhead and out as far as Torrey and Ninistoo and Inishbeak. You know, it's lovely up there. It's bare, it's barren enough when the breeze is coming through and that, but it's as equally as beautiful, and you know, the surface, I suppose, wouldn't be quite the snooker table you'd maybe expect elsewhere, but, you know, it does us for the day we're in there, and, you know, we don't get obviously too much of a chance for maintenance on it, but it holds up well year after year, and, you know, people just, I think it's a bit of an attraction for people to come and play in it as well, solely because it's so different, and that it brings, a little bit something that people maybe haven't experienced otherwise.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique tournament. Tell us a little bit about the teams that are taking part. How many teams are there? What's the format on the day? And what are the trophies up for grabs?
Yeah, generally we can cater, like, because we try to run it out on the one day, because logistically it just makes that bit more sense. We only have the one pitch, and suppose we try to run with an 18 tournament every year, and generally we do get that. You know, some years, like any other tournament, you get a fall off near the time, you might end up with a 7 or something, but there's never been any less than 7 teams, and you know what, it's encouraging, because we see the same teams come back year after year, bringing, you know, it just invigorates it, and then you'll always get a change up, maybe one or two changes every year, and generally they're, for the most part, they're fairly locally based, you know, maybe from the parishes of Clonilly, might get one from Gidor, there's a team in from Dunfanaghy this year, we've a team from Letterkenny, with a team in from England, with a side of some Inishbofin blood in it as well, and like, just kind of, it keeps it all interesting when you have that core group, and when the others like to feed in and out of it, and it's just, yeah, as I said, the quality of player is always there too. You know, sometimes the team with the best of players aren't always the ones that fall over the line on the day. Sometimes the ones with a bit more grit and determination, a lot of experience too sometimes. But yeah, at the end of the day, there's two trophies, I suppose, up for grabs in a sense. There's a perpetual trophy there, named after Canon Shields, who would have been actually the priest it was named after him on our inaugural year when we came back, which would have been 10 years ago, which would have been the 50th celebration of the Island Chapel. And it was Canon Shields who would have spearheaded the drive to build a chapel on the island. And there was a lot of history there and a lot of a strong connection between the island and him. So we thought it would be fitting to name it after him. And then secondly, then we also offer, there's a yearly, I suppose, again, a perpetual trophy which goes out to the player of the tournament. There's been a couple of good names on the trophy so far, so it'll be going into its fourth year now this year, and that trophy is named after Christopher McFadden. Christopher would have strong links to the island. He would have been a cousin of my own, actually. Christopher passed away a couple of years ago. He was only in his 20s, and he loved that weekend. He lived for that weekend, you know, on the island, and he always laced up the boots and got back into it. And, you know, it's just nice to keep them two very different people, but two equally as important people. It's just nice to keep their memories alive as well, I suppose. And it also, I suppose, brings a bit to the weekend when you have the likes of them trophies that are at stake, and that they do carry some kind of meaning to people.
Yeah, so the tournament itself gets underway around 10 o'clock. Then at 12 o'clock, I mean, there are attractions throughout the day. There's a 5K run and walk. There's a bouncy castle there. There's Cayley and social dancing in the afternoon. And then in the evening, off-the-cuff band and a disco. And you have there's a marquee and down near the harbour. Plenty going to be happening in the evening. And then on the Sunday, you have a Kids World Cup tournament at 11 o'clock. That was, I suppose, a new venture relatively recently, but you're going to build on that, hopefully.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of something we just kind of thought about. It was more so, not so much the fall. Sunday mornings are quite quiet. You know, there's probably a lot of sore heads about on Sunday morning, and kids are maybe a little bit less occupied, and it just gave us a chance to get people up and get them out and get the kids up the road and, you know, get them busy as well and drag some parents along with us. And it just means that, you know, the kids have their space and their time as well. Like, fair enough, there's a lot of activities going around the pier and around the hall and stuff for them, but I think, as I said, sport is always central to the island, and as with the kids, and it just allows us to get them back up and running. And like, last year we had a mix of a ring from 8-year-olds to 12, 13-year-olds, and they all banged heads and they all took great fun and great pleasure out of the hour and a half of football that we offered them. And as I said, as people always, they comment on how nice it was to see the kids back in the mullah in their 20s and 30s. I think we made out 40 there last year, and we'll probably see the same just looking at the replies we've had so far this year, because we're going to try to plan a little bit ahead logistically. And, you know, we're probably talking similar numbers again this year, probably near enough 40, more than we've been pushing more than 40 kids. And it'll definitely be something we'll run every year, you know, and it says we couldn't really do it without the help of the parents that are there and that are willing to give us a handout. And it says they just enjoy it. It's a bit of fun and a bit of a let loose for them. You know, sometimes maybe sports are a bit too serious for kids at the minute, and I suppose it just gives them a wee bit of fun for a couple of hours and mixing, playing football with brothers and sisters and cousins that they mightn't normally get to kick ball with, or, you know, so I think that's probably a lot to do with it as well.
And fortunately, the weather forecast looks very, very favourable for the weekend. There's other activities on the Sunday, but certainly for the football and the 5K run and walk, it'll be great to get that weather. And on the Facebook, people can find out more information about the festival on Inishbofin. Just before we let you go, Joe, just thinking back now, you went over to Old Trafford as a teenager back in 2010. It must seem quite a while ago now.
It does. It feels like a lifetime ago. A lot of changes and a lot of different directions gone since then. All right, you know, it's been, it says it was an experience for me that I'll always carry with me, you know, and I'll never leave it down as such. But yeah, it's a long time ago now, looking back. All right.
Yeah, you were there for the guts of 2 years. At a time when, of course, United under Sir Alex Ferguson were absolutely flying. And I was just reading there, I think he played, was it 7 games for the United Academy side? And when you look back on it, you know, you were there at a time, some big, big names.
Yeah, big, big names. But I suppose what I'll always remember about it is that, you know, all them big names were always fairly grounded, you know. They were always, when Sir Alex Ferguson was there, you know, He ran a tight ship, you know, and I suppose the way he's seen it, there's no player bigger than the club, and, you know, that's something that always kind of, that I'll always remember, you know, as successful as they were, you know, everybody, they were only a cog in a bigger wheel and a bigger way of going, and I suppose he always instilled that into players, and, you know, he was as able to put a name on me in the corridor as he was any of his own senior players, and that's something that always resonated with me, you know, that he always seen people for who they were, and everybody was a part of it, you know, from the kitchen staff to the kit men to cleaning ladies, you know, he had a big operation there, and I said that'll always resonate with me, the way he ran it. And as I said, I think things have changed a lot since now. I think player power carries a lot more weight nowadays, and you see that through the way football's going, the money involved and everything. But as for me, like, a hugely successful time, but also, you know, a very grounding time for me. And this is, was a magnificently run club, you know, great people, and from top right down to bottom, you know. And I said there was a lot going on. There was league titles being won. We got a glimpse of the Champions League final when Barcelona beat them at Wembley. And, you know, they were all moments that'll be, I'll never forget them, you know, and they'll always stand with you.
Absolutely. And so looking ahead on the field of play, you're still going to be involved with Glenay United for the coming season?
Yeah, we'll be. We're back this week, actually. We're back starting a bit of pre-season. So we'll be slow getting boys back in. You know, a lot of lads playing Gaelic and stuff, and, you know, they'll start to filter in as we get our feet going again. But another big season ahead. We're playing the first division now, you know, it's always a highly competitive one. You know, we've a lot of local teams, but we're there, Giroa United are there, Giroa Celtic, you know, and neither of them will be, you know, they're all derbies. And we went a couple of years there in the Premier League where we didn't see a derby and had no interaction, but now to see the three of us in the same division would make for a hotly contested kind of one. And everybody's, I suppose, one of them leagues where you look at the table, anybody's fit to take points off anybody, and which is good part about it, you know, it's not better than a bit of competitive football, and, you know, keeps boys honest. And it's, yeah, not looking forward to getting back into it, and we still can, and keep going, and, you know, keep helping out in whatever way you can.
And finally, just to, you know, encourage people, if they want to go over to the island this weekend, you've a great new ferry there. It's only a short trip out from Maharorti, and be it the football tournament, the 5K, the music, a case of the more the merrier?
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's great the way we're working. You know, the football starts here at the 10 now on the Saturday, and Marie and Danny have done an absolutely exceptional job. They run the 5K there every year, and it's a beautiful run round. You know, it mightn't be the flattest, you'll not break any records on it, but you'll have a great day out, and it'll be an enjoyable run round. And it's one of them where we have the service there to provide it. You've Harry and Oni, as you mentioned, with a fresh new ferry. Sean, then the Tory ferry, then will dig us out as well on the day due to capacity limitations with Harry and Oni. So it'll be a case of ferries will run as quick as they can get to the pier and back in, really. That's the way we tend to run it. Probably anything from 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and probably a little bit later, maybe on the Sunday now, probably be near be 10:30. But either way, if somebody's wanting to get in, all you have to do is get yourself to the pier in Maroti, and there'll be a boat there waiting to take you in. And it says it's not a case of the boat that takes you in doesn't have to take you back out. They're running sink, so first boat in, you can get the first boat back out if it suits, you know. So there's plenty of options there for you, and it says you won't be stuck for return journey either. And I said, all going well, the weather hold up for us. You know, we've been very, very lucky in the 11 years where we now have been running. I think we've only had one year where we've actually had to move the date, and that was probably in our second year. So touch wood now. Normally it doesn't look good for the weekend. It turns out good. So I'm hoping we don't see the contrary this year. But no, so far things are looking okay. Sea's looking good, and you know, we've had it doubly, so the sea's looking quite good, and the weather as well. The likes of, we're not looking too much rain, if any rain, and looks a bit of heat in it as well. So hopefully we'll get the numbers in. And it says we can cater for it. The island will cater for as many as the boats can take. You know, that's lucky that we are. We don't try to oversubscribe things either. You know, want to make it as enjoyable for everybody. But no, as I said, the more the merrier, definitely, and the more we get to see and experience what we can offer, and you know, see the way around the island as well. They're more than welcome.